All right. Well, that's not AI generated. Nope. That's the music that tells us that it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. And the Soulful Psalms segment, this segment right here, is available as its own podcast. Go to Podcast Central at EW10.com or to one of your favorite other podcast outlets to download the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. All right, today we're going to take a look at Psalm 143. This one is written by David. Now, this is in Book 5 of the Psalms. So this is 107 to 150. And again, David is the only psalmist that has psalms in all five books of the Psalms. Right? And so we see this is one of the later psalms, obviously, attributed to David. And so Psalm 143, this is a long one. So we're going to have to break this up into two. So we're going to do half the psalm today, and then another time we'll pick up on the other half of the psalm. So this psalm is 143. 145 to 150 are what's known as the Deutero-Hallel Psalms, or the Second Praise Psalms. We have the Hallel Psalms 113 to 118 and Psalm 135. And then we have the Deutero-Hallels 145 to 150. So this is right before those psalms. But again, this starts off typical David. The prescript simply says a psalm of David. And then David dies in a typical Davidic fashion. O Lord, listen to my prayer. Turn your ear to my appeal. You know, I love the humility of David, because thinking that, okay, maybe you're not listening right now, Lord. So let me just start this off by reminding you to take a listen. You know, that I'm praying to you, Lord. You know, incline your ear to my heart. Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. I love that. Turn your ear to my appeal. Why, Lord? You are faithful. You are just. Give answer. Right? So David is praying, and he's looking for God to answer a question or give him some clarity in something that's going on in his life. And he said, why? Because God is faithful. God is just. He will answer this prayer. He will answer this plea, because he's a just God. And remember, God, though, is not a genie that just, you know, he answers whatever prayer. You know, I grant you three wishes, I'll just give you whatever you want. No, he answers those prayers. He answers all prayers, I believe. But I believe directly responding, I think that he answers all prayers that lead us closer to him. So maybe winning $1 million in the lottery, although that may be your desire, that may be your prayer, that's not going to bring you closer to God. So that prayer will not be granted. David continues in verse 2. Do not call your servant to judgment, for in your sight, no one living is justified. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. So as he's saying this prayer, he goes, I'm opening my heart to you, Lord, but look past those things that I've done in the past. Look past those things within myself, because you know me, Lord. You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand, when I'm awake and when I'm asleep. You know me, Lord, because you created me, right? From the womb, before the dawn, I have begotten you, right? David says in Psalm 110. And so don't call your servant to judgment. Lord, as I'm extending my heart to you and my voice to you in this prayer, please don't. Now, I deserve judgment, because David says no one living is justified. But Lord, you know, look past that, because I'm extending my heart to you right now. And verse 3. The enemy pursues my soul. Okay, now we're getting to the heart of what he's praying for. What is it that David is asking for here? The enemy pursues my soul. Notice, he's not trying to, I love this. He's not trying to kill me, like hurt me physically. He pursues my soul. Ooh, that's what this culture's after, our souls. This demonic culture, this perverted culture, this twisted and distorted culture that tries to take truth and manipulate it and to change it into something else. We're trying to create its own reality, right? And that, you know, what is it? Who said it? I think it was I think it was Jesus. Don't worry about what can hurt the body. Worry about what can hurt the soul. Right? So David recognizes this. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness. See, look, sometimes we surround ourselves with people that are trying to take us away from our faith. They may be friends. They may be even family members who are trying to take us away from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, why do you go to church every Sunday? Just be a good person. God, you actually believe that stuff? That women can't be priests? Go to a misogynistic church you belong to, right? Crushing our life to the ground. He made me dwell in darkness. To turn away from the light, which is Christ, and focus on the darkness of their own inner poverty is what this culture is trying to do. He has made me dwell in darkness, David says, like the dead, long forgotten. Right? So what is your legacy going to be when you die? What are people going to remember about you? Right? What besides leaving an inheritance or leaving your kids money, are we leaving what's really important? Are we leaving them an idea of what it means to be in an intimate, personal, loving, life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the legacy. David says, therefore, my spirit fails. My heart is desolate within me. Right? So David is in a dark place. He's in a place he's being pursued. He's a place where he feels that there are people after him that are trying to take him away from faith in Christ. His spirit fails. His heart is desolate within me. And we've all experienced that emptiness and that desolation. We're going through something really hard. The loss of a family member, the loss of a job, the loss of something really important that was special in our life. And the first thing we want to believe is that God took it away from us. It's God's fault. We get angry at God, right? And so David flips the switch. No, he's not angry at God. He realizes where he is right now, but he's asking God to help him out of it. Lord, reach down your hand and save me. Right? There's a psalm. It says, reach in and pull me out of this darkness, Lord, and back into your beautiful light.
You know, and on the same side of that, I've had conversations with my dad. He's almost 90 now. He just had another birthday. And he questions his own legacy. And, you know, and I grew up, this is a great man. He taught me how to drive and to, you know, balance checkbooks and, you know, fix things around the house. And, you know, but in that, he taught me faith. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to, you know, be a father and a husband and all of those things. And whenever I failed, it was when I did opposite of what he taught me. And he still has the devil's whisper in his mind through mistakes he made as a father or a husband that somehow taint the legacy that God has helped him create. And he and I go back and forth all the time when he brings it up. I'm like, how many times are we going to have this conversation? Like, the fruit of your legacy is all of us, your grandchildren, our faith as a family. So don't let the enemy rob you of that when you know that you've done your best, because again, none of us are perfect.
Yeah, and God recognizes that. And I think what God recognizes and blesses a lot of the time is the effort that we're making. He sees that we're trying. Yeah. You know, just like his son, he fell three times carrying that cross and he got up and he kept going.
Yeah.
Knowing what was awaiting him, he got up and kept going. You know, and that gives me so much hope in times of times I'm experiencing darkness or emptiness I'm in a place where just like, like frustration or whatever it may be, you know, to have the courage of David to call out to the Lord in those moments is awesome. I love that. I love that. And then finishing up the last couple of verses here. Again, we're only going to verse 6 because this psalm is twice as long. I remember the days that are past. I ponder all your works. I muse on what your hand has wrought, and to you I stretch out my hands. So he said, David remembers when times in his life when he wasn't in this darkness, when he was living in the light of God's love, and he's pondering that, right? He muses on what God's hand has wrought him. And to you, Lord, I stretch out my hands. And I love this last line. Like a parched land, my soul thirsts for you. We should always be thirsting for God. Not drinking from the well too deeply, but always staying thirsty.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.